Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. The text that I'm going to focus our attention on this morning is that Old Testament lesson from Ecclesiastes. You remember the key word that Solomon used in the, as it's translated in the ESV this morning that I read from the lectern? Remember that word? Vapor. Listen to how it's translated in the New International Version. Begins, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem." Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. What's your first impression of those words? As the NIV translates the first two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. Kind of stunning, isn't it? To begin a book of the Old Testament with those words, meaningless. And repeat it four times in just one verse. Wow, Solomon. How can you be so dark and dismal, right? A Debbie Downer, good grief. That's a gust who doesn't stop gushing with goofiness, right? Come on, Solomon. I don't agree with you. My life has meaning and purpose. I have goals and future plans. I have a decent job that I go to work and I earn money. I make a good living. I'm able to afford things, so I have a fairly decent life. I'm able to enjoy some time off now and then. I have some hobbies that I really enjoy doing, and I pursue them as I wish. I get time off. I feel like I have something going for me. Things seem to be fairly decent. My health is good. I look forward to things in the future. I try to at least have an optimistic outlook. And you say everything is meaningless? I don't agree. And then we stop and think about it. And maybe we recall some of the things that have happened, not only personally in my own life, but even if I look at things and circumstances for others across the world, and I realize, well, maybe Solomon does have something worth listening to. Maybe I would go quite so far as he does and saying, you know, everything is meaningless. But I do understand that I and everybody else live in a sinful world. And things don't always go as great and as glorious as what I might want them to or imagine they could, right? There's problems and troubles and disappointments. We hear about it all the time, tragedies and catastrophes, natural destruction, flooding and tornadoes and earthquakes and drought. You know, it goes from one extreme to the other, it seems, and nothing is all that consistent or calm. So maybe Solomon does have a point. I don't want to have rose-colored glasses on that I don't realize that, yes, things aren't as good as what they could or should be in this sin-filled world. So what's the message then? What does Solomon want to have us take home with us today? When he starts off these words with meaningless, meaningless, everything is utterly meaningless, It's not just simply that we should not worry, just be happy. That won't cut it. But I think we can learn a lesson from Solomon today, who did an investigation and found out, first of all, that this world really does not offer anything that is in any way lasting and good, but only worry and anxiety. So then, his conclusion is that we commit ourselves to God because he alone gives true happiness and contentment. When the words of Ecclesiastes starts out with this phrase, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, we know right away who's writing these words, right? That's Solomon, who was David's son, followed immediately after David's reign. Great King David, remember him. This is his son Solomon. And he's in a unique position to be able to do something that perhaps none of the rest of us would be able to do. At least not to the extent that Solomon did. First of all, as king, he's got the power and position to do just about anything he pleases. And he probably has the time and resources to do that as well. Not to mention the fact that if you recall, early on in Solomon's reign, the Lord came to him and said, ask for whatever you want and I will give it to you. Wow. What an opportunity, right? What potential that statement from the Lord Almighty has for me. And Solomon's answer was, give me wisdom to be able to lead your people rightly. And God gave it to him. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 4, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than all the wisdom of all the men in the east and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. His fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. He's referred to as the wisest man that ever lived. Obviously, other than Jesus, our Savior. And as king over Israel, he had the time, opportunity, and resources to do an investigation. To do an experiment. He put all those resources and wisdom to good use by investigating, as he says in the first part of our text for today, I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the sun. Solomon wanted to find out the meaning of life. Now, whether you've ever had one of those moments where you got really philosophical, maybe that question doesn't necessarily cross your mind. What is the meaning of life? Although, even if it doesn't come across in that kind of terminology or expressed specifically in that format, we sometimes do wonder to ourselves, why am I here and what's the purpose of my life? And when Solomon asked that question, he had the resource and opportunity to really investigate it, and he put that all to use. And then we're told, what a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So it wasn't all fun and games as Solomon was doing his experiment and following through on his investigation. It actually turned out kind of dismal, didn't it? Now, none of us come anywhere near Solomon's wisdom or status or ability or opportunities. But even without all that, there may have been times, and maybe you're in a situation right now where you have come to the very same conclusion. You've maybe asked that question of yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose? I feel at times like I'm just a tiny cog in the cosmic machinery, and really there isn't all that much importance to my life. And we can go from that to even worse. What's the use? Why should I even bother? What am I accomplishing with my life? What good is it? Maybe it is all for naught and worthless. And then we plunge into despair and disappointment and have kind of a dismal outlook or attitude towards life, right? Our situation, our circumstances, and so on. And that can spill over then into or because of our relationships, our finances, our health, our job, you know, just our outlook in general kind of tends to, what's our terminology, go south, right? Leaving us then with this question about maybe the decisions or the pathway that I've taken in my life, and I begin to question whether or not that was really appropriate or proper. And it leads to confusion and worry and anxiety to the point of feeling defeat. And even dismal and despairing and wanting to give up. That's what Solomon's investigation and experiment ended in. Not results, perhaps, that he wanted. Because as I read before, he says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Wow. And if Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, comes to that conclusion, who are we to say, no, I've got a different idea, Solomon. You aren't so smart. Leaving us really wondering why are we paying this much attention to something that is so down and dismal. Well, because Solomon goes on, and as he's doing his investigation, he finally comes to this realization. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. And we might come to the conclusion if we stop right there in Ecclesiastes. Then what Solomon is saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That same kind of answer to the struggle of life that Jesus encountered with his disciples. But that's not where Solomon ends. He says, this too I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment? Solomon was a believer. And in doing all this investigation, he realized in the back of his mind, this is still true. God is the one in control and in charge. He is the one who has called you and me to be members of his family. That's what gives life purpose and meaning and direction and a future, an outcome for which we look forward. See, when Solomon was doing his investigation, he was doing all that first and foremost from a purely earthly, worldly, human standpoint. And without God in the picture, yeah, the only conclusion people come to is it's meaningless. If all we do is eat, drink, and be merry now, we better do it to the hilt, because after that, it's the end. Without God. But see, that's the difference between me and the unbeliever. Between you and me and the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't know any kind of peace or relief or rest on this earth. That's why they always seem to be worn out and weary and wandering and worried and worse off than ever. Without God. Dismal indeed. But in Christ Jesus. Because what God has done for us in Jesus our Savior, and only in Him do we have true, real meaning, purpose, and direction in life. That's why Solomon says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So thank God that you are a member of His family. The psalmist says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Again, the psalmist. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. At the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. See, we think that Solomon was probably writing the book of Ecclesiastes at the end of his life, as he looks back on everything that had happened in his own life, all the things that he had experienced, and now is writing to give advice and direction to others. So take Solomon's advice. Realize and understand where he is coming. Just like the prophet Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, Jeremiah replies. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Or as Jesus puts it, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, find satisfaction and meaning and purpose in life always and only in Christ Jesus your Savior. So the gist is, don't let yourself be tempted by wealth and possessions and fame and fortune of, you know, that this world is so obsessed with. Even life itself. Don't let any of that get in the way so that you forget or neglect God. If Solomon came to understand that and knew that to be truth, you and I can learn that lesson then as well. And remember that you've been rescued from that slavery to that meaningless life by your Lord and Savior who shed His blood on Calvary's cross. Paid the ultimate price to win you for Himself. giving you hope and a future. And Jesus, in fact, states that in John chapter 10, where he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So all this stuff that goes on in our lives is not meaningless if, in fact, we remember for whom we do it, as a thank offering to our Savior God because of a lasting inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. So how does that play out in our lives? Parents, make sure that's number one on your list of things to pass on to your children. Children, make sure that that's the first and foremost thing you think of when you are called on to obey your parents. Employers and employees, whatever you're doing at work or at play, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God for the sake of Christ, your Savior and Lord. That's a meaningful life. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.